Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro is facing criticism today because, according to an aide, he's going to miss a summit on the forest fires tearing through the Amazon right now. He will be preparing for surgery. Under Bolsonaro's watch, there has been an 80% increase in fires this year in the Amazon, many intentionally set to clear land for other uses. But the Amazon is not the only forest in trouble. Mark Cochran is a professor at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. He's an expert in tropical forests and joins us now. Professor, the Amazon is not the only big forest that people consider to be part of the lungs of the planet. There are other forests, even in Brazil, that have been deforested.
That's correct. You get the Atlantic rainforest, which is all along the coastline of Brazil, and about 85% of that has already been deforested, and the rest is largely fragmented. The other world's tropical forests are under threat as well. Southeast Asia's faced extensive logging and conversion to oil palm. Africa's had longstanding deforestation that people don't even remember anymore, since much of it has happened already. And then we have the rest of the world's forest, where we have either cut or are cutting. The United States has largely cut all of its forests, and many have grown back or are growing back. Europe, their ancient forests are largely gone and have been replaced with agriculture. And we're seeing increasing numbers of fires now in the boreal forest of both Canada and Russia.
So do you think it's unfair then that there's so much attention being put on what Brazil is allowing to happen to its forests?
Yeah, I don't know if you call it unfair. It's certainly the Western countries have no moral high ground from which to criticize Brazil. That doesn't change the fact that Brazil is experiencing extensive fires, and even the Brazilian people do not accept the changes in the environmental laws that have been enforced in recent years. So it's not just the external world criticizing Bolsonaro and the government, but also many within Brazil itself.
Let's talk about some of the forests you just mentioned, starting with Europe. What existed there and how much is left and why is it gone?
Well, much of Europe used to be forested, whether it was out to England or all across Germany. When the Romans came through, they fought in the forests of Germany. Much of that has now been lost. The last of the remaining old growth, I believe, is in Poland, and even that is under threat now. So much of the European forest has long ago been cut.
And what about the United States? There are obviously a lot of forests in the United States, but almost none of them are virgin forests, right?
Correct. Yeah, it used to be that almost everything east of the Mississippi was forested in the U.S., and then we had all of our large forests in the western U.S., and much of that has been logged over at least once. Now, in the eastern U.S., much of it has been regrowing over recent decades because as we open agriculture in the Midwest, we abandon a lot of farmlands in the east. So the U.S. actually gains carbon credits because of a regrowing forest that we had cut, you know, a century ago.
Is there a difference, though, between the forest that existed in the U.S. or in Europe and such a unique ecosystem that exists in the Amazon?
Oh, yeah, there are differences in the sense primarily of the diversity. The tropical forests have many more species, orders of magnitude more species than all of North America or Europe, for example. So they are ancient and very diverse. The forests here used to be very old as well, or many of them, but they're more acclimated to disturbances such as fire versus the tropical forest, which have had no evolutionary adaptation to fire because there is literally no natural fire in those systems.
In terms of other tropical forests, you mentioned Indonesia. I know you're going to be going to Indonesia soon to look at the forest there. They're being burned, as you said, to clear the way for palm oil trees. Give us a sense of what's happening there.
Yeah, so in Indonesia and much of Southeast Asia, they've been clearing first for logging purposes, but in the peat swamps, they've cleared them and drained them, and they are converting many of these areas to oil palm. The problem there is, although oil palm produces, you know, products we want, burning in those areas not only removes the native forest, it actually burns into the organic-rich soils themselves and starts consuming those and releases huge amounts of emissions of both greenhouse gases and particulates, such that in 2015, the last El Nino, we had such large fires it impacted all the way out to Singapore and Malaysia. Estimates are that 100,000 people are dying from that smoke.
What about in Africa? Some massive fires going on in the tropical forests of Africa.
every year Africa has massive fires, more than anywhere else on the planet. And if you look at the products we have for looking at fire, you can see it sweeping up and down through Africa every year. So that is not necessarily unusual. What would be unusual is if it is burning into the remaining forests.
Is there any place on Earth where a country is really handling its natural forests well?
That's a good question. Not that I know of. They're trying. I mean, some places are less skewed. So some place like Canada, where huge areas of it are so rural that they don't try to manage it. So they have systems that are largely intact, or Russia with Siberia, but they, those areas, climate change may be shifting how fires are burning and creating other types of problems. Places like the U.S., we have huge resources. We have tried to control fire for decades. We're spending many more dollars trying to do something, and we're over billions every year, and yet we're having more area burned, and especially in large fires. So even trying to throw a lot of resources at it is not controlling the problem.
But I think one of the things that is surprising to many as they've watched what's been happening in the Amazon is that it's not, you know, a wildfire that is just naturally occurring in the forest. It's somebody setting the forest on fire so that they can clear the land, often for cattle. And the experts will say that that's not even a good place to raise cattle anyway.
Yeah, well, it depends how you look at these things. One is, yes, it is like you say, we initiate fires in that manner. Cattle is good for people in Brazil because it's economically stable. It's not good in terms of the amount of beef you can raise per hectare. But for them economically, it makes a lot of sense. In terms of the fires themselves, they are set to either deforest an area, like you say, so they ignite that, or to keep pastures and other areas clear of fire. But many of those fires then escape any kind of control and then continue across that landscape, either through damaged forests or in extreme years through the actual standing intact forests. So it, what starts as intentional fire often becomes accidental fire.
Do you see a solution to this to try to protect some of the remaining forests and tropical forests that exist in the world?
Well, Brazil had made a really good start on this over the last couple decades. They protected more than half of the forest from deforestation, and they don't get much credit for all of those efforts. They've also been working to legalize the tenure on the land and been enforcing the laws for when you can convert, when you can burn, and such that the amount of deforestation from 2004 until recent years had dropped dramatically from about 25,000 square kilometers a year to 7,000 square kilometers a year. Only in the last year or two has it started going back up. And that is why there is concern this year, because it's effectively gone up by about 80% so far. The chances to try to control this are, one, protecting large areas, but two, trying to manage that land ideally without fire when possible, or when using fire to do it more professionally, shall we say. You don't burn into a standing forest, you burn away from it towards the center. You burn areas when the ambient conditions are not conducive to wildfire spread. Mm-hmm. You know, you ideally have areas that are managed the same way, so you don't try to put, say, fruit trees next to a pasture where you're going to be burning. You also try not to overly fragment the forest area where you are having fire, because once you fragment that and kind of chop it up into pieces, it bleeds the moisture out and it becomes easier to burn. So you have to be more proactive if you're going to do this. And ideally, if we can move towards other land uses that are not so fire dependent, that would help as well.
You've been to the forests in the Amazon that are facing these fires right now. Can you describe what they're like for people who haven't been there and what's so important about them?
Well, they're the jungle. They're lush. I mean, it's hard to take a picture if you're in an intact forest, because once you're in it, it's so rich and around you, you can't get any depth to take that picture. You'll hear the life, but you won't usually see it. It's all around you, but it's concealed. But what's amazing about it is the diversity that's within those forests. So we have, you know, more species than you can imagine, more species than we can even count. We don't even know how many are there. So there's this, you know, lush richness of life that is in a tropical forest.
That's Mark Cochran, who's a professor at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
And you can see some photos of forests around the world at herenow.org.